Hello, this is Tyler Finder. Thank you for joining us today. We invite you to connect with us on all social media outlets. Now, let's go to the message.
And the angel said unto her, her being Mary, fear not. Somebody say, don't be scared. Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Somebody say, favor. And behold, you shall conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. Somebody say the divine interruption. You may be seated. Luke 19:10 and Luke 12 verse 51 tell us something about Jesus that you won't hear preached a lot of places. Jesus came in Luke 19:10 to seek and save that which was lost. Jesus did not come to make us comfortable. Jesus came to save us because we needed a Savior. I know in a few days we will gather friends and families around our table and bring them into our homes and sit around a tree and we will exchange gifts. But can I remind you that there is no cross without the manger? And so the reason that we pause the 25th of every December is to thank God. God, I am so grateful that you sent your one and only son, Jesus, to me because I was lost. You were lost. We were messed up. We were wrong and couldn't get right. Some of us were wrong and didn't know we were wrong. Some of us were wrong and were trying to get right through a myriad of different ways. But there was only one way, and Jesus said, I've come to save that which was lost. Luke 12:51, this would not go over well to a lot of churches. Jesus said, you think I came to bring peace on earth? No, I tell you, I came but to bring division. One translation said, I came to be the dividing line in this world. I've come to tell you that Jesus has drawn a line in the sand, but it's not a line where he's trying to separate himself from you. He's drawn a line in the sand between the sick and the healed, between the oppressed and the delivered, between the confused and the ones that have their mind set on Jesus. Jesus came to be the dividing line. I have bad news for the ex-evangelicals, the woke believers, and the so-called deconstructing Christians. If Jesus were still walking on the earth today in a physical form, he would not be taking sides. He would be taking over. Jesus is not the problem. His PR is the problem. His ambassadors are the problem. Because we're not glad as much as we should be about Jesus. As glad as we should. That's why David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go unto the house of the Lord. Not because of the church. Not because of the decor. Not because of the praise team. He said, I'm glad to go to the house of God because I know when I get to his house, guess who's going to be smack dab in the middle? Jesus and his presence will be there. And so I am here to tell you, I am glad about Jesus. And while some of my peers have gone off to the left or the right, I'm staying on the side of Jesus. Jesus came to be a divine disruptor. Somebody say disrupt. Disrupt means to change the normal continuance. Business as usual. Here in the last 20 months, we have lived with something called COVID-19. And we've heard a phrase over and over and over, the new normal. I'm here to tell you, COVID is not part of my normal. COVID is not part of the new anything. Because the Bible says when you give your life to Jesus, that we became a new creation, that old things are passed away. But I've come to tell you, Jesus wants to disrupt each and every one of our lives to create his normal in us. We got a puppy at the Finder house this week. As much as that little French bulldog has brought joy and laughter and happiness and excitement, she's disrupted our lives. I just figured this out after we bought the puppy. Puppies are like toddlers that never grow up. You'll always have to take them to the bathroom. You'll always have to feed them. I'd still say the greatest day of my life was when my kids could break the suction seal on the refrigerator and feed themselves. Sometimes the disruption is not a bad thing. Our lives need to be disrupted from the mundane, from the ordinary, from the natural. When Jesus steps in, he disrupts the natural and creates supernatural. When Jesus steps in, he disrupts the ordinary and makes it extraordinary, extraordinary. He disrupts the normal. Can I encourage you? Jesus, whether you've been saved a day, never saved, or you've been saved a decade, Jesus wants to disrupt your 2021 going into 2022. He wants you to think different, talk different, live different. Different perspectives. Somebody say interrupt. Interrupt means to break in the continuity or the uniformity of a course, a process, or condition. When Jesus came to this world 2,000 years ago, he came to break the process. Not to fix it, to break their process to make a new process. He didn't make the high priest better. He said, I'm doing away with you. I'm going to be the priest because I couldn't trust you to do your job. Aren't you glad that you don't have to go through a man to get to Jesus? Aren't you glad that you don't have to come to an altar to talk to Jesus? But any day, Monday through Sunday, you can call on the name of Jesus and he will be there to disrupt and to interrupt anything that you're going through. How does Jesus disrupt and interrupt the norm? Life and life abundant. John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus said, I've come to give you life and life more abundantly. He disrupts the norm by bringing truth. John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the truth. Truth does not evolve. Jesus the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's why I cannot get on the bandwagon with progressive Christianity. That's why I cannot change what words mean in the Word of God. What has been will always be. John 8:32, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. How do you know if what you're following is the truth? Does it make you free? If you're following something and you're the same way, it's not the truth. If you're following something and it hasn't made an impact in your life, it's not the truth. And the miraculous is a way that Jesus disrupts the norm. Mark 16:17-18. And these signs shall follow those that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils, speak in other tongues, take up serpents, drink deadly things. It will not hurt them. They will lay their hands on the sick and they shall recover. Jesus came to disrupt. What a disruption at your office if somebody came in a wheelchair and you prayed for them and they got up. What a disruption at your Christmas traditional meal when you sit down and your aunt or uncle tells of the doctor's report that they have and you lay hands on them around that table and you pray in the name of Jesus for health to show up. Wouldn't it be awesome if auntie or uncle got healed and you disrupted the norm because you said Jesus is showing up and we're not just going to exchange gifts and you're not just going to get an iPad or a pair of earrings or a tennis bracelet, but Jesus disrupted the first Christmas story and changed the world. Very quickly, Jesus interrupted Mary. He interrupted her youth and her plans. The angel shows up to Mary in Luke 1 and says, you're going to be pregnant. You're going to have a son. And this is not something that's going to happen in 5 years. I know you're 16 or 17. I know you're not married, but you don't have to know a man because God himself, the Holy Spirit, is going to overshadow you and you're going to get pregnant. It changed her youth and it changed her plans. If I've got anybody under the age of 21 today, can I encourage you, don't wait right now today. Give your life over to Jesus Christ. And I'm not talking about praying a prayer and going home the same way. I'm talking about praying a prayer that invites Jesus into your life and say, God, from this day forward, it is you and me. I will follow you. I believe in you. I will be a disciple, and I will allow you to change my plans, to disrupt, to interrupt. Jesus interrupted Joseph. His reputation was interrupted. Joseph was at this point a upstanding citizen. Everybody thought well of Joseph, but now the rumors and the questions about whether Joseph and Mary have engaged in premarital sex, and has he gone against the vow and the covenant that Jews are supposed to stay clean and pure before they go to the bed of marriage? And now Joseph is not only his integrity being questioned, but now they're even questioning, is he crazy to stay with somebody that might have cheated on him? His reputation, are you faith-filled enough for your reputation not to be known as the great businessman, great businesswoman, but can your reputation just be, I'm a follower of Jesus? Can that be the title that we cling to? More than a husband, I'm a follower of Jesus. More than a father, I'm a follower of Jesus. Long down on the list, I'm a pastor, but before that, I am a follower of Jesus. Interrupt my reputation. Make me who you've called me to be. We get further in the story, Luke chapter 2, verse 7, Jesus interrupts the innkeeper's business. All you business owners, entrepreneurs, small business, large business owners, managers, supervisors, can I encourage you, what would 2022 look like if you let Jesus interrupt your business? What would your business look like, church, if we allow Jesus to take the forefront of our career and make some decisions? I know we love to talk about Jesus giving us money and blessing us and Jesus giving us a better job, but what would it look like if you said, all right, Jesus, me and you are going to work today? Jesus, disrupt the norm where I work, where I hold my business. That night, his business was interrupted. We go one verse later, Luke 2, verse 8. Jesus interrupted the shepherd's night. Angels appeared to shepherds who were watching over the flocks at night. I love that Jesus still interrupts nights. You might be in the greatest night season of your life. You might be in the greatest dark season of your life. But I've come to know this by how the sun and the moon works. The moon is testimony that the sun is still shining. You might not be able to see the shining sun, but it's still shining. Because when it's dark here, it's light in London. Why is that? Because the sun set does not mean the sun has gone out. Just like when Jesus went to the tomb, he might have been dead, but praise God, it wasn't over. I heard a preacher preach this morning while I was getting ready for church. He loves the comma. The comma means the sentence might be over, but God's not finished. There's something else to be said. And there in the night season, an angel split the sky and say, behold, this is the night. Emmanuel, the Messiah, Jesus is born. Go and find him. Their night was interrupted. Can I encourage you, church? I don't know what you're facing. I don't know what you're going through, but Jesus still interrupts the night seasons of your life to let you know help has arrived. We go a few verses later, verse 12. Jesus interrupts the wise men's life by interrupting their direction. They had visited Herod, and Herod had lied to them and schemed and tried to build this mastermind plan. And he said, once you find this new baby, let me know where he is, because I too would like to worship him. And we know Herod didn't want to worship him. Herod wanted to kill him. And so the Bible says in verse 12 that in a dream the wise men were told of Herod's evil plan, and they went home a different way or a different route. When God showed up in the form of Jesus, it interrupted the wise men's direction. Can I tell you, going into 2022, if Jesus has not interrupted your direction and where you're headed, he wants to today. You might be going the wrong way, but I love it. Just turn 180 degrees. You could be going the right way before you leave this building today. If you don't know Jesus, you could be on your way to an eternity in hell without him. But when you say yes to Jesus, you turn your life around, and where you were going is no longer your destination. And just like he interrupted the wise men's direction, he will do the same for you. You need clarity where you're going. Jesus is that clarity. He said, I'm the way. God will show you in a dream. God will show you in your time of worship. God will give you direction. We go on. Jesus interrupted Herod's plan. Oh, this is going to preach good. Because you know the devil wants to steal, kill, and destroy. The devil was stealing, killing, and destroying before Jesus came on the scene. But when Jesus comes on the scene, he says, it's okay that he wants to steal, kill, and destroy because I have come that you might have life and life in abundance. I always like to look at the text in a different way with a different perspective. Notice that John 10:10, God allows the enemy to always move first. The enemy will always move first, which tells you help is on the way and God is about to show up. Anytime the enemy shows up in my life and takes something, I'm already looking for God's hand to give something. Anytime the enemy shows up and attacks my body, I'm already looking over the enemy's shoulder for the great physician to show up and heal me. Anytime the enemy tries to put chains on me and bind me, I'm already looking for the chain breaker to show up and to deliver me. I am here to tell you the devil has a plan, but Jesus came to interrupt his plan. A divine interruption. Two more. Jesus interrupted the world's future. I love the fact that every atheist that signs a check and writes the date has to acknowledge that the Jesus they say doesn't exist as God, that 2,021 years ago, he died. Come on now. Every time they put 2021, come on now. In just a few days, New York's going to be filled with millions of people. They're going to be drunk out of their mind. They're not counting down the ball dropping. They're counting down, oh, it's been another year since the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Oh, I'm here to tell you, the world has a plan for you. The world has a scheme for you. The world wants you to be like them. But thanks be to God, we have had Jesus interrupt their plan, interrupt previously scheduled programming to bring you this breaking news. Hey, God's still in control. Hey, Jesus is still on the throne. Hey, he might have died 2,000 years ago, but 3 days later, he rose again. He came to interrupt the world's plan. And finally, Pastor Becky, if you'll come, Jesus came to interrupt your location and your destination. Location, now. Destination, next. Location, right here. Interrupt my plan. Mess my plans up. If those plans were written by my hand, mess them up. You give me your vision, and I'll write it and make it plain. Habakkuk 2:2. You give me your purpose, and I'm going to live out that purpose. And the reason why we need Jesus to interrupt our now is because our next is hanging in the balance. In Jeremiah 29:11, when God says, I have thoughts that I have thought about you, things that I've spoken, he said, not of evil, but of peace. And I've given you an expected end. One translation says, I've given you destiny. If God is thinking about our now and our next. I love this. Brandon or you, we only exist in the now. We can only exist December 12th, 2021. That's where we're at. We're in our current location now. Jesus is in our current location now, but he's also in our next. Jesus doesn't hold time. Jesus is time. Alpha and Omega. Not at different times, at the same time. So when Jesus came to this earth, he said, I'm coming to you. I could go all the way back to Genesis 1:1 when the Godhead said, let us make man in our image. Jesus was there at the beginning. Jesus showed up at the earth 2,000 years ago. Jesus is standing in 2022, and he's whispering. He's whispering destiny. He's whispering, your miracle. Hold on. Don't give up. I've come to disrupt. And the disruption and the interruption, just like that puppy at my house, crying all night long, disrupting our life as normal, but the joy that is brought into our home. Even hardcore Tyler, who doesn't get very emotional about that stuff, I've heard him say at least a dozen times, she's so cute, and just scoops her up in his arms. He's carrying her around. It disrupts. I want to encourage you. Jesus has come to disrupt today. Jesus has come to interrupt today. And just like when those breaking news reports come on the TV, what they're saying is, what we're saying is more important than what you are watching. And Jesus showed up 2,000 years ago, and he shows up still today, and he's saying, hey, breaking news. I interrupt what you're going through. I interrupt what you're trying to do. And what I'm saying, it's more important than what they're saying. What I'm doing is more important than what you're doing. And I want to encourage you, as you stand on your feet today all over the house, we've been praying for a holy disruption. We've been praying for souls. We've been talking about souls. The last 6 months, it's been souls, souls. We've seen almost 100 young people in the last 2 months on Saturday nights give their lives to Jesus Christ. It's souls. We've seen dozens of entire families. I'm talking about the children, the parents, the grandparents, aunties, uncles being saved and going to be baptized all in the same moment. It's a holy disruption. Jesus came to this earth 2,000 years ago, but he's come again to your heart today. As we close out this service, I believe this altar is going to fill. I've been praying for you. I've been praying that 100 souls would be saved today, that 100 decisions, salvations, and rededications would happen today. You say, Pastor, what if we don't hit that? What if we do? What if only 88 have? Well, 88, that's a good number. We're calling you to open your life up to Jesus Christ. More than a holiday. More than a Sunday, but saying, Jesus, interrupt my life. I need a holy disruption. God, everything has become so normalized, God, and I don't like it. I need you, Jesus. I'm going to ask everybody to bow their head and close their eyes. This gives you a moment to contemplate your life, not your husband.